Action causes reaction.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Global financial markets are moving today after a move by the Federal Reserve Board. Policymakers announced they'll buy U.S. Treasuries and mortgage-backed securities, part of a plan to inject at least $1 trillion or more into the American economy. How's that working out? So far, not bad. The Dow, actually all the markets up at this hour. The Dow up about 0.1%, 11 points. NASDAQ up as well, and the S&P 500 up about 0.5%. European shares are trading higher today, 1-3%. Asian markets were mixed. The Fed's move is having an immediate impact in the mortgage market. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
If you're looking to refinance your mortgage and you've got good credit, Google Refinance. You'll see some eye-poppingly low rates. Quicken Loan site is promising 4.5%. Other sites are offering rates near record lows, too. Dean Barber with Barber Financial Group says the Fed's decision to buy up government bonds and mortgage-backed securities could help turn the housing market around.
The hope, in my opinion, that could come from this is that people can refinance their loans and we can slow the rate of foreclosures.
Barber fears, though, that lower rates won't help enough homeowners. He's also worried about the value of the dollar. It fell against most currencies yesterday in reaction to the Fed's buying frenzy. Edward Haddis is with BreakingViews.com. He explains that this cash infusion could have a good effect for a while, but
too much cash for too long will unleash a lot of inflation.
For the moment, the Fed's willing to take that gamble with unemployment rising and consumer confidence low. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The Labor Department reports first-time jobless claims dropped more than analysts had expected. Good news for the week, but
the real issue is that the number of people who are continuously unemployed that have been on unemployment for a longer period in time continues to rise. This is a very big problem in the U.S. economy.
Diane Swank is chief economist with Mesirow Financial. General Electric today says it expects its struggling finance unit to at least break even for the year. GE Capital opened its books at an investor conference today, a little game in the business world they're calling a deep dive. Some other big action of the day is happening on the hardwood. March Madness gets underway today with CBS televising the first round of the NCAA basketball playoffs. With the fallout in full swing, you might think marketers would be sitting on the bench. Not so much, as Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll reports.
Rebound, Arthur. Kansas can taste it.
20 million fans tuned in last year for the NCAA's championship game. But overall, March Madness has been losing television viewers. And this year isn't expected to be any different. Even so, advertisers are crowding the court. Walt Garino teaches advertising at Seton Hall University. He says March Madness is still one of the best ways to reach young, well-educated men in big numbers.
The audience is basically not only mostly male, slightly above average in income.
So Lowe's, Coca-Cola, and Nike are buying in. And there's beer.
Of course, there's a thing called the brewskis.
Foreign automakers and tech companies are stepping up their ad buys as banks and American car makers bail out. Also, lots of advertisers will be pitching their products online. Tech analyst Josh Martin says the web is a good place to find a captive audience, especially during work hours.
There's something to be said for having an active user that is waiting for the game to come back on, that can't skip commercials.
And can't bear to miss a free throw. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
A lot of people are angry over big bonuses being paid with government bailout money. If anything, AIG has personified a corporate culture that leaves a bad taste. But does that mean we need to look at a new model for executive compensation? Let's bring in economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, how do we rationalize these big salaries and bonuses in the days of corporate bailouts and government help?
Well, you know, you can't rationalize it. It makes no sense. It's a perversion of a system. Now, I think that we have a very good model for how CEOs should be paid. Think of an entrepreneur. You like entrepreneurs, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, we all like entrepreneurs. They take an idea, they take a risk, and every once in a while they succeed. And you know, when they succeed, they create jobs, they innovate, and if they want to go out and buy a Lamborghini, we say, go buy that Lamborghini. You want a jet? Go buy that jet. You want two homes? That's fine. Because most of the time, they take the risk, and it fails. And then maybe they lost their home, or maybe that 401k needs to be replenished. So there's a real balance between risk and reward. But when it comes to the nation's CEOs and these people at AIG, it's all reward and no risk.
So what kind of compensation model then works in this environment?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, I think let's just make every CEO just like an entrepreneur. So if times are good, they can get their benefits. If times are bad and they lose their jobs, they don't get the health care, they don't get the pension. And why don't more CEOs today act like the head of Japan Airlines? Now, he's laying off workers. They're having trouble. Guess what his salary is? $90,000 a year. And he stands in line in the cafeteria. That's the sort of example CEOs should be giving. Times are good. They make bets. I got no problem. But when times are bad, they're laying off people. They should suffer too.
But does the marketplace take care of this, Chris? Or is it the government? Whose plan should this be? And how does it come to be?
Well, the reason why I don't want government to be doing it is because you come up to this very real problem about one size doesn't fit all and the politics, which you just can't get out of there. But the big question I have is, at what point are the boards of directors who have the responsibility for doing this, at what point will the boards of directors exercise their responsibility? So I think there's a very simple message to the boards of directors of America's corporations. Take a look at the anger that's out there. If you don't convince the American worker that there is fairness in CEO compensation, then you know what? People are going to be angry enough. Politicians will respond to that anger, and government will do it. And that will not be good.
All right. Economic correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.